The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Well, we have started discussing chapter 12, which is the Bhakti Yoga, the Yoga of Devotion. In the last chapter, which we had seen, the Vishwarupa Darshan, the cosmic form of the Lord, ended with a statement from the Lord, or Krishna, that yes, it is not possible what you have seen, Arjuna, by a person in this world in a normal sense. However, it is possible for those who have the unswerving devotion to me, devotion to the Supreme, Ananya, not other, who has a complete devotion to the Lord and none other. Therefore, in life, mat karma krit, do actions for me, mat paramaha, mat bhaktaha, become my devotee, sangha varjitaha, without any attachment, nirvairaha, no enemies. And such a person will achieve me. You know, Bhagavan said that be a devotee with unconditional devotion in your mind, and you shall achieve what Arjuna has achieved. That was kind of introduction to the next chapter, in a way, that we have seen the cosmic form. We see the world in its plurality as our normal perception. One level above that, what Arjuna saw is, he saw the entire universe as one entity. Seeing the world as is, but not as the world of plurality, but world of singularity. Seeing things as is, considering it as the parts of the whole. You know. We see them as individual entities, conglomeration of individual entities. For Arjuna, he went a step further and saw a one entity and everything else is part of it. Therefore, he sees many hands and many mouths and many stomachs and all the things we have seen and described and discussed. So now he goes a step further and says, okay, we have discussed all that, but I have learned through my Vedic background, learned as a student of Vedas, that there is beyond this world of manifestation, the Lord who is unmanifest. There is a substratum to this world of manifestation, which support the whole, but it remains unmanifest. So what is it that I should be devoted to? You say, become my bhakta, do actions for me, do this, and you shall achieve my own self. What is then the difference between those, the avyakta, the Upanishads and Vedas talk about? They talk about go beyond all these things, and realize the self which is unmanifest. So he opens the chapter with say, evam satata yuktaha e bhaktaha tvam pari upasate echi api aksaram avyaktam tesam ke yogavittamaha. We have heard from you that the devotees which you have said ever state for ananyaha, without any other, devotes themselves to you. In this case, you, the Supreme Lord, is one entity. Arjuna has seen this, the world of manifestation is just one entity, which has all the attributes that we see. You see, if I devote to that, Satat yuktaha, ever straight track. Yuktaha, one who has achieved the yoga is yukta. Satat yuktaha, always connected to one which I need to connect to, which is my higher self. Those devotees who are always connected to you, and pari upasate is doing your upasana. Upasana in a normal translation is worship. Now we, last time we had a discussion about which one worship, you know, if I'm doing murti puja. But basically a manifested entity, if I identify with, is my upasana to that. Worship is nothing but the highest form of devotion. Devotion is nothing but love for the divine. Love is nothing but identification. I can only love someone who I identify with. If I have no identification, I cannot love. Same way, unless I have an identification with the divine, there is no devotion. At my level, I can only form the devotion to someone, something I can identify with. That's why, well, I really feel devoted to Lord Shiva. But for some reason, Vishnu doesn't appeal to me. That's why I'm a Shaivite and not a Vaishnavite. That's because from my childhood's background, I have associated divine with the form of Shiva, for whatever reason. So now when I think of a divine, I identify with the Lord Shiva's form. Therefore, I feel devoted to him. The Vaishnavas feel like exactly opposite. My sister-in-law, whose family was a devout Vaishnavas, and to an extent that in their house, you cannot talk about Shiva. If you talk about Shiva, that's a big insult to Vishnu. So they are passing by the Shiva temple, they'll take another route. Because people do go to that extent because of their identification with their form. So Arjuna's question is very simple. Those devotees who are steadfast in their yoga, in their identification, yoga is to connect. One who is connected so firmly with you in your form, whichever form we can say. Now either the Arjuna, what he has seen is the supreme form, or the form he knows the Krishna, or the form which he has envisioned as Krishna's form as Chaturbhuj with the four hands and mace in hand. And but whatever form, the manifest form that I identify and with constantly devoted to as a devotee. And there are others which Vedas and Upanishads talks about who are devoted api aksharam avyaktam. They are devoted to this imperishable aksharam. Veda talks about the Brahman being imperishable. Anything which I can objectify is perishable. In other words, anything which I can perceive through my senses is an object. And if it is an object, it has a birth date and a death date. Whether it is millions of years, few minutes, few seconds, or eons, it's still finite. So anything which I see as manifested is perishable. So now there is a conundrum here. Lord is imperishable. The Vedas and Upanishads talk about the Self and the Supreme, which is imperishable, has no form. Avyaktam is unmanifest. Are those yogis as superior, or the one who devote to one form, your form, Krishna, or any other form, one manifest form, are superior? Now he is kind of conflicted. His background says you should be devoted to imperishable and unmanifest. Krishna says, forget about everything. Become my devotee without any other. Ananyaha, without other. And then do everything for me. Consider me as the supreme. Have me as your goal all the time, and you shall achieve me. They say, which one is right? So obviously this is also a question for all of us actually. Arjuna is basically just his mouthpiece for us. So we say, well, is it really necessary to go to temple? Is it idol worship or go to churches or whatever that is? Is that really right? Or me as a intellectual saying, Bhagwan is this and that's good enough or that's better? Should I be contemplating on the unmanifest or contemplating on one manifest which I assign all the divine qualities to? See, that's why, you know, in so many panths, they will call the head of whoever is a Bhagwan, Bhagwan Rajneesh. You know. Because I have assigned as a student, a devotee, all the divine qualities they have learned in this into that one person. So if somebody asked me, for me, Chinmayananda is Bhagwan, because I assign all those divine qualities that I know into him. Because I constantly try to find those qualities in him. And as my mind confirms, yes, check marks, and say, yes, you know, all this which he says, so you're nothing but my Bhagwan. So Bhagwan is the one who is Bhagwat, you know, one who has the divine qualities. And we associate that. Which devotee is superior? Or you consider is better? So Bhagwan now answers the question. And Krishna, being way a diplomat, he will never say this is right and that's wrong. He will say this is right, but this also right. So he said, Mayi aveshya manaha imam nitya yukta upasate. One who is connected to me, aveshya, one who is fixed to me, not obviously physically, mentally, one who is constantly connected to me, nitya yukta upasate. Nitya, always. Yukta, as we said, who is connected. Again, yoga is to connect. One is connected to yukta. One who is established in yoga is yukta. Because we feel connected when we are thinking about it. Then we lose it when we start thinking about others, other things. Therefore, Bhagavan says, ananya chetaha, who doesn't think about anything but me. And we find it absolutely impossible to do. But obviously everybody talks about it, it must be possible. One who sees me in everything, every time he thinks of anything, he's thinking about me alone. One who has taken for granted that there is nothing other than him, which is where Arjuna has seen in last chapter. He went a step further than you and I are at this level. We see this world as a world of plurality, Lord's manifestation, but many entities. He saw this manifestation as one entity. And now he's saying, okay, there is something even beyond that, where it's completely unmanifest. None of the things which he has seen, which he found terrible in that manifestation. He said, well, it's terrifying me. So maybe you go further and there is no manifestation. And that may be better. So Bhagwan said, Mayi avasya, one who has identified me in any form that you think of as divine, nitya yukta, always connected with me, upasate, worships. Worship, as we have said, is identification. Worship is not an act of, as Swamiji jokingly says, lamp showing and throwing flowers. Because sometimes, you know, when we do puja, we just throw flower at it. So it's not offering, it's throwing. It is my expression of showing respect to him. That's the, he's always connected. Not just at the time of throwing flowers, but when he turns away and goes away, also he's still connected with me. Sraddhaya paraya upetahate. And who has a faith in that supreme? Paraya, that supreme. That which I considered as higher than me, higher than anything else I know, in the Supreme. I have faith in that. Te me yukta tama mataha. In my opinion, Krishna never said, let me tell you what is right and wrong. He said, my opinion. Okay, it's up to you. You can decide. You may have your own opinion. In my opinion, these people are superior in the two categories which you have described. So when I was saying, well, Bhagwan says that manifest form, the devotion to the manifest form is good. Now, he actually described the qualities of that devotee who is devoted to the manifest form. And he has three qualities he described. Now, you think you are a bhakta for the manifest form, here is a litmus test. If you pass this, then you are a devotee to manifest form. First, he says, Mayi Aveshya. He should be always connected to me. Nitya Yukta. It's not that at one time I feel I'm connected, other time I don't feel I'm connected. I'm constantly connected to him and have a complete faith in Sraddhaya. So you need a steadfastness, in that devotion, faith, and you should be firmly established in that form, not wavering. If you are completely convinced that this is the path, then Bhagavan said it is good for those people. What about the others? The next one is, Etu aksaram anirdeshyam avyaktam pariupasate sarvatragam achintyam cha kutastam achalam dhruvam. Third verse gives nothing but the definition of that unmanifest. But those who are devoted to aksharam, imperishable, anirdeshyam, cannot be seen, avyaktam, unmanifest, sarvatragam, is all-pervading. By very definition, if it is not an object, it is imperishable. Anything which I can see and perceive through my senses has to be perishable. So even the Lord's form, if I can perceive through my senses, is perishable. That form is perishable, not the Lord. The form is perishable. There is nothing to come into existence and go into non-existence. So that is aksharam, imperishable. Anirdeshyam. If I can perceive through my senses, it is imperceivable. And if I can perceive, it is no more aksharam. It's an object. And therefore it is avyaktam, therefore unmanifest. Because it is beyond the perception of my senses, it's unmanifest. Example, that this radio waves in this room, I know they exist, but I cannot perceive through my senses. They are unmanifest for me. But if I have a radio tuner, they will manifest. But right now they are unmanifest because they are beyond the perception of my senses. So it's unmanifest. The avyaktam. Sarvatragam. If it's an object, it's finite. It will have whatever the space you can conceive, it will be there. Standard example, which is this room space, I can perceive and therefore it is finite. I can perceive how large this room is, it's finite. But say, Neil, how about the outside space? Well, I feel outside space. This is pretty nice. But how do you perceive outside space? He said, because the objects I see outside, the buildings and trees, and therefore I perceive the outside space. But if I remove all these objects out of this space, can you perceive that space? There's nothing to perceive. All the objects are gone. So now is that space finite? This room space is finite because I can perceive and it's a limitation. Outside space is also finite right now because I define them by the objects I see, the buildings and trees and roads and cars and whatever. But if I remove all of them, there's nothing to perceive. So what is the definition of that space? Sarvatragam, it's all pervading. There's nothing to bind it within my perception. Therefore it is sarvatragam. Achintyam. And if it, all these things which you just described, I can think about it. It is not possible to think about any object which does not exist. Any object that my senses cannot perceive. And therefore, the description of this supreme which is given is achintyam, cannot be thought of. If I think about it, it's finite. And that form will perish. I said, well, when I was young, I was devoted to Hanumanji. Because Hanumanji is strong and give me strength. All these bullies in the school, me being a small guy and a weakling, and those bullies, also Hanumanji, save me. But then as I grew, I said I became Bhaktab Lakshmi because I need money. Because they perishes those forms in my mind. So he said, achintyam, that cannot be thought of. So if you think I intellectually understood, unmanifest, you lost it. Because now you're thinking about it. Kutastham. It is the basis for all my perception. Kuta is anvil in a blacksmith's shop. Blacksmiths take this anvil and put all the other irons on and shape it, but the anvil remains constant, at least for this example. So it is like that anvil, the support for all the changes which I see in this world. This sansar which I live in, samsarati, constantly changing, is changing, has to have some substrate. That substrate is unmanifest. On this, these changes are occurring. So that is the basis for that. And therefore it is dhruvam. It is fixed. It's eternal. It has no beginning or the end. If I am pariupasate, I am doing the upasana to that. Sam niyamya indriya gramam. Now, if I think I am that devotee, because most of the time our Chinmaya Mission members, we are not believing in all this puja, ritual, nothing. We believe in one Lord, so unmanifest. Oh, okay, so you are one of them. The Bhagavan says, okay, well then let me give you your litmus test. If you pass this, then you are devoted to that. Other one we have already seen has to Shraddha, has to firm conviction, always connect. Now he said, Sam niyamya indriya gramam, the bundle of senses should be in control. Sam niyam indriya gramam means all the indriyas. If we have even forgotten one in our description, don't worry about it. Even that is included. Rather than saying the five jnanendriya and five karmendriya and all this you need to control. He said, no, all of them. Sam niyamya, they are in your control. Swami used to say that the definition of freedom is, if I don't do what I feel like doing is a freedom. If I'm completely free, then I can control what I feel like doing by my senses prompted desire. I feel like eating gulab jambu, but doctor told me not, and if I don't eat it, then I'm free. Sam niyamya indriya gram. First quality you require if you are devoted to that is the control over all your senses. Sarvatra samabuddhayaha, who is equanimous in his thinking everywhere. He does not get tossed around by the happenings. Things are going good and I think, no, I think this knowledge is great. I think this is perfectly fine. Other day that the things go down as well, and I don't know, actually this thing has made me so pessimistic that I'm not putting either efforts. That's why I'm not succeeding. I have people and literally come to me in all these years I've been doing and said, well, why did you stop coming to the Gita classes? You see, you know, I realize that I come here and then I lose my motivation in my business or all that thing to put motion, because it says karmanyevadhikaraste and all that. So I think I need to focus on my business and have a little more passion towards that. So that makes fair sense. You don't want to suffer your business because you come to Gita class. So, sarvatra samabuddhayaha. We know that the sansara I'm living in will constantly be changing. One day will be this, other day will be that. Some circumstances will be conducive, some may not be. I remain firm in my mind that this is not the supreme. This is not myself. This is something which is superimposed on the Supreme Self. Tim prapnuvanti mameva sarva bhuta hite rataha, the third quality. So how does he do all these other two? How can he remain in control with his senses? And sarvatra samabuddhaya. The key is in the third, sarva bhuta hite rataha. He makes his profession to serve all the beings in this world. He's constantly engaged in the welfare of all the beings in this world. That's how he keeps his equanimity. That's how he keeps his senses under control. Because no matter what he's doing, he's thinking about whether I'm doing something which is good for the others, not good for me. If you are doing that, next verse will tell you. Then, te prapnuvanti mameva, they will also achieve me. The bhaktiya devoting to a manifest form, they will also achieve me. Those who are devoting to the unmanifest, as long as they have this necessary qualification, they will also achieve. They will both achieve the same result as long as the path which I have chosen is conducive to my liking. That if I can do this, then I'll take this path. If I can do this, I'll take this path. Therefore, the argument about, well, why would people choose one or the other? Because the other path was not available to him because of his own makeup of his mind and intellect. The path of devotion to Lord Krishna or to any manifest form was not available to him. Because the moment he thinks about that, well, yeah, what is this? This is, I don't think this arti is going to do any good. And he loses that devotion. Therefore, he has to come back to this. Or he says, well, I can't really do all this. Samniyam yandriya gramam sarva bhuta hite rataha. Well, I really don't have this seva bhav. I don't have that. Well, I'll just devote it to my Lord.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.